You're listening to James Valentine on ABC Radio.
Look, you're excited. I'm excited. And I know why you're excited, because the same reason I'm excited. I know why you're excited. It's the same reason I'm excited. Because we're about to play Plug, the world's most exciting news quiz. Look, every media outlet in the world has a bit of a news quiz somewhere, but none of them are quite as exciting as Plug. And this is for a very simple reason. Plug pits contestants against one another, but really it pits them against themselves. Because Plug says, oh, sure, you can come on the show. You're a well-known person. You want to tell us about your book or your show or your podcast, but you don't get to do it now. Oh, no, unless you win 2 points, there's no plugging. And the kind of people we get on, these are people desperate to plug. These are people who are, they spend their life plugging. They're people like me. They want to be on air. They want to be advertising themselves all the time. Hence the excitement that builds every afternoon whenever we play Plug. And I'm very proud to welcome, as always, Matt Bevan from RN Breakfast, creator of The Questions. Hello, Matt.
Hello, James.
Very good. Matt doesn't suffer from quite the same pathology. His pathology is he likes to spend 24/7 reading news. That's basically it, isn't it?
I don't suffer from it at the moment, James, but just a fair warning. Next week I'm going to start wanting to plug my my upcoming podcast that's coming out next month.
Okay.
But I will back off just for this week. I'll remain free of that pathology for one more week.
Okay, that's fine. But I don't think you have quite the same, you know, performer anxiety that, you know, perhaps Anina Oyama or myself have.
I think that's accurate,
Anina Oyama, good afternoon.
Hello.
Do you suffer from the desperation for attention, the desperation to be in front of the crowd?
Of course I do. I'm a comedian.
Yeah, exactly. It's almost the very worst of the pathology, isn't it? Because you are prepared to suffer to that level to get the attention of the crowd.
Oh, absolutely. I'll do anything for a laugh. I'll do anything for any reaction. The bar is on the floor.
Yeah, that's right. Look, I buried the bar a long time ago. So you are in excellent company. Nina, lovely to have you along. And, you know, we'll get to what you're doing a little later. I'm pretty sure you'll earn the 2 points.
I don't know, man. We'll see.
Have you been engaged in current events this week?
Loosely. I did have a birthday this week, so I have been a little less engaged in reading the news and a little bit more engaged in enjoying myself.
Yes.
But hey, I have brushed up on my news knowledge this morning, so we'll see. I'll be a worthy contender, I promise.
How was a COVID birthday? Did you ban every? Did you not blow out the candles? Was there only 10 of you socially distanced? How did you do it?
Yeah, it was a bit of a socially distanced situation. It was just me and my family in a park about a metre apart.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it's kind of good. We're not huggers, so really nothing's changed.
Okay, so there was. So yes, it's interesting at the moment when the non-huggers also now pretend that they might have been huggers.
Yeah, we're like, we acted like this the whole time.
Yeah. Nina, great to have you along. Nina Oyama will be competing against Dan Illich. Hello, Dan.
Oh, it's good to be with you.
It's good to have you along, Dan. You're a hard one because you do actually pay attention to things during the week, don't you?
Look, I'm trying to. I'm trying to. I'm creating my thing that I'm going to plug, and that means I need to pay attention to things.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, it's been a very, dare I say, boring week. Not much exciting has happened.
Yeah. Well, do you find that? I mean, I'm finding that in general, and it's a... You know, it's the slightest of all possible things you can say about this most ghastly of all possible years. But
I've got to say, the most exciting thing to happen on Twitter has been Nina's birthday.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, that's it. Yeah, why we weren't reporting more widely on that, I don't know. It should have been.
I think it's down to the bias of ABC to not include diverse voices.
That's it.
In their reporting.
That's it. It's exactly. If Nina's name had been, I don't know, Dan Bennett, we would have reported on the on her right. on the birthday.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
No question of that. All righty, let's get into a bit of plugging. Mr. Bevan, question number one.
I'm sorry that the week hasn't been interesting enough for you, by the way, Dan.
Oh.
There's only been two revolutions.
Yes, true. Okay, off you go.
Okay, question number one. Which now infamous city held held this giant pool party this week? Have a listen.
Wow, sure that's not Nina's birthday.
Yeah.
Nina.
I wish.
Where was the pool party, Nina?
I'm going to guess LA.
LA. Dan, where was the pool party?
Look, there ain't no party like a Wuhan party. Yeah. That was in Wuhan City, that pool party.
Yes, which is kind of the point, isn't it? They seem to be over it. They seem to have decided that they're perfectly fine there.
Well, you know, it was their plan all along to make everyone sick, apparently, according to Donald Trump. So they've earned it.
That's right. Job, mission accomplished. So now it's time to party.
It's paid off. And it's a pool party. So look, there's chlorine everywhere, which I'm sure gets rid of the coronavirus. I mean, I haven't researched this or looked it up, but let's pretend.
Yeah, if you inject it into yourself, that'll cure you, I think.
That'll do.
That's what they were all doing. True. They were just shooting up water, right?
Yeah. So it was Wuhan, Nina. You didn't see this. Like, what was so riveting about it is, you know, like as you say, we're all, you know, we're a bit uncomfortable. So there's 10 of us and we're a meter apart. This looked like 10,000 people gathered around a pool, in and out of the pool with DJs on top of one another. We haven't seen anything like that for years.
Look. In my defense, I have been on TikTok and there's been a big scandal because there was a big house party in LA. So it wasn't unfounded, my guess.
Okay. How big was the house party?
Real big. There was like thousands of people there, I think.
Yeah. Okay. So,
but they're all influencers, so no one really cared.
Well, they're all, so they can't get sick because they've, you know, as soon as you put it out on Instagram, that also is a cure, I think.
Exactly. Fame is a cure.
Matt, follow-up question?
Yeah, I've got a follow-up question on that. If you were listening closely, they were partying to a remix of the biggest song of 2012. What was that song?
Dan, did you pick the tune?
The remix of the biggest song in 2012. Oh, my God. I don't know. 2012.
Nina, did you pick it?
God, I don't know. I'm going to say, is it Gangnam Style?
Oh, Nina, you're a genius. You're a genius. It is, of course, Gangnam Style. The biggest song of 2012. I mean. Oppan Gangnam Style. Huh?
Oh, my God. That was a pure guess. That was. I'm so proud of myself.
That's right. That'll go with those.
I'm sorry, Dan, but you may have watched the news, but I'm still going to crush you. This is. Like, apologies in advance.
It's a great tune.
It's really good. It's solid.
Yeah.
It takes me right back to 2012.
Oh, doesn't it? And when you could party in a pool with 10,000 people, it was
no one minded.
Beautiful time.
Well, half of that music clip, if I recall correctly, takes place in an elevator. There's like 10 people partying in an elevator doing the horsey dance. You can't do that anymore.
No, not something. Well, these are things you'll show it to your grandchildren. They'll go, no, really? That's unbelievable. Look, at the end of that round, they're sitting on 1 point each, so it's neck to neck in the world's most exciting news quiz today on Plug. Mr. Bevan, next question, please.
Question three. What innovative way has a Tokyo company found to allow them to run a haunted house in the age of COVID?
Okay, have a listen to this. No, that's still going. I thought I got rid of that. Sorry, it's the ABC system that's confusing me here. So this is about a haunted house in Tokyo. Have a listen to this.
Yeah.
Oh, it's pretty scary. Nina, how are they running a haunted house in Tokyo?
I'm going to say, and this is off the report of the Japanese roller coaster where they were told to scream inside their hearts. I feel like that's another thing you can apply here. Scream inside your heart. Scream. Be scared inside your heart.
Okay. Scream inside your heart or your mask. Dan, how are they doing it?
To fit the amount of people in there to kind of make money, they've just decided to kill everyone as they go in. So technically not alive.
Yeah.
They're haunting the haunted house with actual dead people.
Oh, okay. So the horror is as you open the door, you realise that your own death is imminent.
Imminent. You scream, then they can take another ticket, let somebody else through.
I don't believe that. Japan has a whole forest for that. They don't, they don't need to trick people into killing themselves.
Yeah. Hey, Nina, don't yuck other people's yum, mate.
No. Yeah, yeah. Look, unfortunately, you're both incredibly wrong there. Neither do you scream inside your heart nor die when you get there. How do you get there, Matt?
Well, it's a drive-in. It's a drive-in haunted house. They've set up a situation where you never get out of your car and you drive basically into a garage and then they turn the lights off and they just sort of come up to your windows and make scary sounds and smear them with fake blood and that sort of thing in order to try and scare you. Yeah, so it's an entirely drive-in experience.
I've actually done this before, but I call it taking my car to get rego.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I just like the idea that they come up to the speaker like the McDonald's drive-through, and they're like, "I'd like one haunting, please."
Shit my pants, please.
Yeah. Yes. Do you want real blood with that? Or I quite like that. I think that would actually be quite scary. And so the car, you're not driving anywhere. The car's just parked, and people come at the car, Matt.
Yeah. So yeah. Well, the thing is that, and this is possibly just something that happens because it's in Tokyo. But I think potentially here you could have it with the car moving. But in Tokyo, very few people have driver's licenses. Basically, it's not much of a driving city. So they have cars there ready for you as well that you can go and sit in because so many people don't own cars.
I like the idea of getting an Uber to take you there, and then the Uber driver suddenly stuck in there. What are you doing to me?
I gave you one star.
That's right. All right, so no points for that round, still sitting on one each. Will they get to plug? See, the tension rises. You think 2 points sounds easy as anything? It's not.
I'm so stressed.
Let's see how you go on this question. My reading for the week has been the Australian Style Guide, and this is the Australian Government's Language Style Guide, okay? They've published a guide on how you should write correctly, what's the correct sort of way to form a sentence, and what sort of phrases you should be using in government documents. So here's one of their questions from this to check whether you've paid attention to the whole thing. And so here's your question. It's one of the most ABC questions you'll get in a long time. Where should the apostrophe go in the phrase visitor's book, Nina? Where does the apostrophe go in the phrase visitor's book?
Can I just first say I've never read a style guide in my life and it sounds really nerdy. And so if I get this question wrong, it's actually because I'm cool and not a nerd.
Okay.
And if I get it right, it's because I'm really smart.
Okay, so, no, insult the host. It's a good way to go. Continue.
I just got to protect my reputation as a cool person that has cool birthday parties, you know?
Okay, sure.
No shade. Visitor's book.
Where does the apostrophe go in the phrase visitor's book?
I'm going to say after the S, because many visitors... Oh, hang on. No, I'm going to say between the R and the S, because... Oh, no, this is very difficult. I just realised this is quite a conundrum.
Thank you for thinking out loud. It's so good. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to go with my first option, which is after the S, because many visitors go through and use the book and the plural of visitors. So it's a plural of visitors and that's the ownership of S.
After the S. Dan, where does the apostrophe go in the phrase visitor's book?
Well, as a very lonely man, I would only receive one visitor. and so I think also in this time of COVID that only one visitor should be visiting at once. Mm. So I think the apostrophe should go after the R and between the S.
Okay. All right. Very good. Matt, any ideas where the apostrophe goes?
Well, is it some sort of a, I haven't read the style guide recently, but potentially it's, like many government documents, very outdated. And so is it sort of like a a Shakespearean thing where you you take one of the vowels out and put an apostrophe in so that you sort of run on.
Oh, I see.
Visitors. So between the T and the R is my answer.
Oh, you want it between the T and the R. Okay. Yeah. Very, very nice.
Visitor's book. Well, visitor's book.
To sign the visitor's book when I visit it.
Yes, when I visit it. And will ye inscribe your John Thomas in our visitor's book? No, it's not you, John Thomas, something else. Anyway, that was
John
Hancock.
You're
John Hancock. Anyway,
John Thomas is a different thing altogether.
That's a different thing altogether, isn't it? I knew there was some phrase like that. Okay, look, it was a nasty question because where does the apostrophe go in the phrase visitor's book? There is no apostrophe in the phrase visitor's book. It's a I know it's nasty, isn't it? The visitor there is a descriptor. It's not the visitors don't own the book. It's a description of what's in the book. So it's visitors' book.
Visitors.
And similarly, workers' compensation is not owned by the workers. So isn't it nasty? That was a nasty, nasty question.
Can I just please get you to check the style guide to see how to pronounce negotiation? Is it negotiation or negotiation?
Oh. I don't know if it's not a verbal style guide, it's written.
Oh god.
So that you need the beautifully named Tiger Webb. You need to talk to Tig. Our language expert here at the ABC.
Oh, do you want to know a fun fact about Tiger? He used to coach me in Ultimate Frisbee in high school.
No way!
Not to out Tiger Webb as an Ultimate Frisbee player, but we did make it to national finals. So,
wow.
You know,
that is very
important.
Wow.
Yes, we're both sportsmen.
I'm pretty sure I looked at your website and your bio, Nina. You did not mention finalist in Ultimate Frisbee at any point there.
Yeah, well, it hasn't really helped my comedy career. It actually makes people think less of me, so it's not something that I brag about.
Really? I am deeply impressed. I love Ultimate Frisbee. I love Frisbee.
Yeah, the only reason I mentioned it is to out Tiger and so that he has to share my shame.
Yeah, there's no shame in that. But that is so funny. That is the people you will meet on and through life and then the way they come back, it cracks me up every single time. But look, no points there. So again, it's just saying so tense. Matt, what is the next question?
Well, James, I've just got a question for you.
Yeah.
Why is it called a John Hancock? What is the source of that?
I don't know. It's a
phrase,
sort of. I feel like it's an American phrase. Yeah, hey, come on, put your John Hancock on here, or we're out of here.
But what's the source of that? Where's that from?
Don't know. Ask Tiger.
It's from the Declaration of Independence in the US. John Hancock was one of the signers, and everyone else signed their name a normal size, and John Hancock was like, "I'm going to sign my name." 0.52, 0.72. Right. So he scrawled over half the page, not quite literally half the page, but quite enormous signature on the Declaration of Independence. So there you go. That's why it's called John Hancock.
Yeah.
See, they didn't
really
sing about that.
That he had signed that document.
See, they didn't sing about that in Hamilton, so I didn't know.
That's
but if
right.
they did, like, if they really should have put that in.
That's crazy they didn't have that, you know. Mr. Big Ink thinks he can think and get the, you know.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. Hey.
We have a freestyle rapper in our midst.
I can often do two lines at a time, yeah.
Whoa. James Valentine, Triple J is on level 6. You're in the wrong place.
Question number 4
or
5.
Here's question. So question number 6, I think. This week, the Democratic Party in the US has run their nominating convention virtually. When it came to reading out the primary votes from each state to nominate Joe Biden, they went around the country and did little recorded crosses to people in every state that gave a little spiel about their state, then said the votes. I've bleeped out the name of this state in one of the little live crosses. Tell me which state it is.
The Ocean State, where our restaurant and fishing industry have been decimated by this pandemic, are lucky to have a governor, Gina Raimondo, whose program lets our fishermen sell their catches directly to the public, and our state appetizer, calamari, is available in all 50 states. The calamari comeback state of casts one vote for Bernie Sanders and 34 votes for the next president, Joe Biden.
Okay. So which state was this, Dan?
The calamari comeback state.
The calamari comeback state.
Is it something like Maine or Rhode Island or someone up there.
Okay, Nina, what do you reckon?
Oh God, I don't know. I'm just gonna shamelessly copy Dan, and I'm gonna say Maine. But it's only because hear me out. It's because they crawfish. That's like a big seafood production place, Maine, right? That's like where they.
Yeah, I've had some.
I changed my mind. I'm going to go different. I'm going to say California. I'm pretty sure it's not that, but I know it's a coastal town.
See, again, your instincts were so good to follow Dan, and then you changed him. He should have gone with those initial instincts then. Because I'm giving him the point because he did say Rhode Island at some point in his answer.
And our state appetizer, calamari, is available in all 50 states. The calamari comeback state of Rhode Island casts one vote for Bernie Sanders and 34 votes for the next president.
Just checking, who do they get to speak? Do they get Peter Griffin to speak?
Yeah, I think that's who it was. So congratulations, Dan. You made the 2 points. Plug away.
Well, I'd like to cede my time to Nina, so Nina can plug.
What? Is this a birthday present?
Happy birthday, Nina!
Oh, it's a birthday present.
Or is this because of the media diversity report?
it's a present
plug. Thank you,
plug.
Either way.
Yes, well done. Yeah, exactly.
Well, I appreciate it. Yeah. Do I just plug? Do I just go?
Yeah, you just go. Plug on.
Oh, amazing. You can hear me on the Chaser Report podcast, which you can listen to wherever you get your podcast. And also, I wrote on a TV show called YOLO Crystal Fantasy on Adult Swim, which is available now if you just go to adultswim.com, I believe.
So say it again. YOLO...
YOLO Crystal Fantasy.
YOLO Crystal
Fantasy. It is so
YOLO
funny.
YOLO Crystal Fantasy.
Great.
It's not for the faint of heart. It's a funny comedy cartoon made by Michael Cusack, who you might know from Siggy Butt Brain.
Yep.
The cartoon, Rick and Morty's Bushworld Adventures. So
fantastic! Well done.
I was lucky enough to be a writer on it.
Bravo! And now, what are you doing on the Chaser podcast? Because I like the fact that after about 40 years, the Chaser have discovered women. It's that's good.
Yeah. It's a miracle.
what are you doing with them?
I'm a co-host.
Great.
Andrew Hansen went to have a baby, or his partner has had a baby. So I am stepping in for the time being, but I'm on pretty regular.
Let's hope it works out. Or, that's it. They'll go, nah, we tried one of those women once. Yeah, I don't know. It didn't work.
Well, that's what Andrew Hansen's doing. He's off making new members of the Chaser replace them.
New gen Chaser. Chaser 2.0. Dan, what are you up to?
Great. I just want to plug the Chaser podcast and YOLO Crystal Fantasy. They're really good.
Yeah.
But also I'm doing my podcast, Irrational Fear, weekly, and we are doing some great numbers at the moment. Also, we're starting a monthly long-form conversation with climate change leaders. It's a podcast called I forget what it's called. Anyway, we've got Kevin Rudd coming up next week. It's called The Greatest Moral Podcast of Our Time. That's what it's called.
Phew, thank goodness for that.
And so, of course, if we're calling it the greatest moral podcast of our time, the first guest will be Kevin Rudd.
Yeah.
So that's very exciting.
Well done. But Irrational Fear is going really, really well. So look out for that wherever you get podcasts. Very funny weekly listen there. Weekly, you're doing at the moment?
Weekly at the moment, yeah. Weekly for the next year.
Bravo. Fantastic. All right. Let's say they're both sitting on 2 points, so we're starting to get to see if we can get a winner this afternoon. Have a listen to this. Tell me, who is this and what are they describing?
Yeah, I ain't going to lie, Phil. You got me on that. Ain't never seen nobody drop a beat like 3 minutes in a song.
I'm dead, bro. That's funny.
That was good, man. That's unique.
More definitely, that is true. I never seen somebody drop a beat on the end of the song.
That's crazy. Wake them up.
Wake them up, Dan. Who is that and what are they describing?
I think they're talking about Phil Collins. They're two brothers who on YouTube watched a video of Phil Collins and they were so impressed. The old Phil Collins song is now at the top of the charts. Kudos to Phil Collins getting his due 20 years later.
Nina, what do you reckon?
Yeah, I have also seen this video, and it's Phil Collins in the air tonight.
That's absolutely
and
correct.
And to be fair, it is a bold move to drop a drum beat in the middle of a song.
Well, like, not even in the middle. Like, the song goes on for it. There's a lot of verses and choruses before Phil suddenly went, that's right, I played the drums. You know, like, he remembered, he sang for a long time before he went, yeah, I can, how about, you know what I reckon this needs right now? But, yes, absolutely.
And the thing is, those poor guys, like, they didn't get to see the Cadbury ad with the gorilla that drums. Otherwise, they'd already know it.
They'd know about it.
That's
right. They know his song already.
That was a great moment. I'd forgotten that. But you're absolutely right. It's twins Tim and Fred Williams from their now hugely viral video, First Time Hearing. They're sleeping on me. Wait, but it is really funny. I love the way they listen to the song and then they'll hit pause and have a bit of a chat about it. It's a really funny, simple idea. It's absolutely great. Well, look,
is this how you do your air checks with management, James? Do you?
Yeah. What happens there is that they'll say, "Let's listen, have a listen this afternoon," and they'll hit play. I'll say, "Hello, everybody. We've got a great show," and they go, "You can't say that. Like, that's you don't know that yet. We'll decide whether it's a great show." You know, so it's very, very similar. Look, Bravo.
And do you smash in there halfway through with an enormous drum solo?
Yeah, that's right. I pull out the saxophone.
As someone who's had the privilege of filling in for James in the past, I can tell you that James Valentine always has on his desk a very sweaty reed ready to go whenever you need a saxophone.
It's not sweaty; it's saliva soaked. It's not sweaty. Come on.
Yeah, like as someone that used to play the bassoon, I know that you need to have a wet reed in order to make a good noise.
That's right.
That's all I'm saying.
Hey, respect to the double.
You need a wet ass reed to make a good noise.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dan. We were hoping not to go there. But thank you. Respect to the double reed playing of Nina Oyama and her frisbee skills and her comedic skills. You'll find her on the Chaser Report at the moment, or Yola Crystal Fantasy, some of her writing. Dan, Irrational Fear, look out for that as well. Thank you so much both for playing Plug this afternoon.
My pleasure.
Thanks for having us.
Mr. Bevan, see you again next week.
Thanks, James.
You're listening to James Valentine on ABC Radio.